Ever feel like you're just adrift? Like the
Yeah.
world's throwing information at you and none of it makes sense?
Okay.
Well, that's kind of what we're dealing with today, but in a fascinating way, hopefully.
Okay.
We're diving deep into the world of Dave Nolanche.
Okay.
And no, not the movie guy. Well, kind of. Not his films, though.
Right.
We're looking at his writing this time. Specifically, this piece called Gregzilla's Bitten Tongue, Noelle's Broken World.txt. Catchy, right? Even the title's a doozy.
Yeah.
So get this David guy, he calls himself a schizophrenic savant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not a formal diagnosis or anything, but still, it gives you a sense of how he sees himself, right?
Definitely. Outside the box, for sure. And that comes through in his writing, too. It's
Yeah,
outsider art, no question.
totally.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even though it's like reading from another dimension sometimes, his stuff, there's this weird logic to it. Like the universe he's describing, it holds together, kind of.
Right. It's like its own internal consistency, which is often what makes outsider art so compelling, right? It might not make sense in the traditional way, but there's a system there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do today, decode the system, figure out what the heck this Noel equation is all about.
Ambitious. I like it. So, where do we even begin with something like this?
Oh, I think we got to start with David himself. At the time he wrote this, he was going through it like major heartbreak,
Yeah.
and it bleeds into his writing big time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He even calls his ex's new guy Gregzilla.
Ouch.
Right, savage. But also kind of funny. You can just
Oh, yeah.
feel the raw emotion there.
Absolutely. And that kind of emotional intensity can be a powerful creative force.
For sure. And you know what's interesting? He talks about like meticulously crafting his online dating profile.
Yeah.
Almost like he was trying to apply some kind of formula to love. And when it blew up in his face.
It sent him down this rabbit hole.
Exactly. He starts seeing patterns everywhere, connections and everything.
Looking for meaning in the chaos.
And bam, the Noel equation is born, this like all-encompassing theory of everything. He calls it his life's work.
Wow, that's some serious dedication. But here's what really gets me. We don't actually have the equation
We
itself.
don't.
Nope. Just his descriptions of what it's supposed to represent, what it all means.
So it's like trying to understand a symphony by looking at sheet music with no notes.
Pretty much. We have the instruments, maybe some tempo markings, but the melody, the heart of it, that's missing.
So how do we even begin to make sense of it?
Well, we have to listen closely to the descriptions he does give us. It's like those visual puzzles, you know, where you have to kind of relax your eyes to see the hidden image.
Okay, I can try that. So what are we looking for in this hidden image?
Think about it this way. David is trying to explain the universe, but he's doing it through the lens of his own personal experience, his heartbreak, this quest for meaning. It's like he's invented a new language and we need to learn how to speak it.
Okay, I'm game. Teach me.
Bet.
All right, so let's start with his description of time. He doesn't see it as a straight line past, present, future. He describes it more like this elongated sphere.
A sphere.
Yeah, like a cosmic egg almost.
Okay, that's definitely different. What's that about? It's like he's saying past, present, and future, they're not separate points. They're all happening at once, just on different parts of the sphere, all interwoven.
Okay, that's kind of blowing my mind a little. And then he adds this web around it, right? Like a net surrounding this cosmic egg of time.
Exactly. And he says that the web is densest in the middle, where the present moment exists.
Ugh, the present. So much pressure.
Right. Like everything is converging right here, right now.
And then as you move away from the present towards the past or the future, the web gets thinner, right? Like those old memories that are fuzzy around the edges,
Yeah.
or the future that's still unclear, kind of.
Exactly. It's like the further away something is in time, the less defined it becomes.
Okay, so we've got this sphere of time wrapped in a web, densest in the present, but then it gets even weirder. He introduces these cones, like inside the sphere.
The past cone and the future cone.
Right. And this is where things start to get really interesting, because this is where David's theory goes from abstract to almost, well, kind of terrifying.
Okay.
So these cones,
Okay.
what's the deal with them?
So he calls the left one the past cone, and he gets really specific about what's inside.
Okay, like what?
He talks about these jagged lines, like cracks in the fabric of time,
Whoa.
and he says they represent something called the negative speed of light, like minus c.
Negative speed of light. Is that even a thing? I mean, is that real physics or?
Probably not in the way we understand it. But remember, David's playing by his own rules here. He's not afraid to bend reality a little.
So what's he getting at then with this whole negative speed of light thing?
Well, I think it ties into this idea that the past, even though it's behind us, it still has this pull.
Right, like those things we can't outrun no matter how hard we try.
Exactly. And then at the very tip of this past cone, it gets even wilder.
Okay, hit me.
He calls it the negative absolute zero, a void. And get this, he says it's the genesis of his lineage where all the sins of his ancestors are trapped.
Okay, now that's just creepy. So it's like he's carrying this burden, right?
I think so. And doesn't that make sense given what he's going through with this heartbreak?
Yeah, actually. Well, it's like he's looking for an explanation for his pain, for feeling like he's not good enough. And he lands on this idea that it's not just him, it's generations of, like, inherited baggage.
Precisely. He's projecting his own personal struggles onto this cosmic scale.
So if the past is all doom and gloom, what about the future?
Well, the future cone, it's almost the opposite. He describes it as this realm of pure potential, bursting with energy. Instead of C, it's all about C, the positive speed of light.
Okay, so the past is holding us back, but the future is, like, unlimited possibility.
That's how I see it. And I think there's something incredibly optimistic about that, don't you think? Like, even though he's in this dark place, he still believes in the power of the future.
I do. But wait, he called it a realm of chaos too, right?
Right. And I think that's important. It's not about knowing what the future holds, but rather accepting that we can't control everything. It's about surrendering to the unknown in a way.
So we've got these two opposing forces, the control of the past and the chaos of the future. Where do they meet? What happens in the middle?
That's the heart of it all. The singular infinity, he calls it, represented by the symbol omega.
Omega.
Yeah. It's where the two cones intersect, where past, present, and future collide.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get a picture of this Noel universe. But didn't you say something about David having a breakdown in a psych ward?
Yeah, and this is where things get really interesting and really sad, to be honest.
Also.
Well, we have these writings, these glimpses into David's theory, but then we also have this other layer, this really poignant scene where he's trying to explain it all to a nurse. It's just, you know, he's there in the psych ward, really vulnerable, and he's trying so hard to explain it all to this nurse, and she's just not getting it.
Oh, man.
You know, like, he's found this truth, this model of the universe, and he needs to share it.
Right.
But she just doesn't have the capacity to understand.
It's even more heartbreaking because he's hallucinating, right? He sees her as Kimberly, his ex.
Exactly. It's like those two worlds, his heartbreak and his theory, they're totally intertwined in his mind.
And the things he says in that scene, man, they really get to you. Like, he says, the past, it's not dead, nurse. It's alive. It's within us.
Oh, I got chills when I read that part.
Right. Like, he's trying to convince her, but you can tell he's also trying to convince himself.
Absolutely. And then he talks about the future.
The future, yeah.
He says, it's not fixed, nurse. It's fluid. It's a dance of possibilities. And we are the dancers.
It's like he's saying we're not just prisoners of our past, right? We have a choice in how we move forward.
Exactly. We can't control everything, but we can choose how we move through the chaos.
We're all dancing between those two forces, the control of the past and the chaos of the future.
And finding that balance, that's where the beauty lies, I think.
And then he just lays it all out there, doesn't he? He says, it's all connected, nurse. We are all part of the Noel. And the Noel, it's alive.
Wow.
It's like he's found this strange kind of peace in all of this, this idea that everything is connected, everything matters.
Yeah, and that's the thing about outsider art, isn't it? It's not always pretty, it's not always easy to understand, but it can offer us these profound glimpses into the human experience.
Exactly. And maybe that's what David's trying to do with the Noel equation. Maybe it's not about the math at all, but about this deep human need to find meaning, to make sense of the chaos.
To find our place in the universe, even if it's a universe of our own making.
Exactly. And isn't that what we're all searching for in the end? Some kind of truth, some kind of connection. And who knows, maybe there's a little bit of David's Noel in all of us.
Maybe so. So the next time you feel lost, like you're drowning in information overload, take a deep breath, look for the patterns, and maybe, just maybe, you'll find your own Noel waiting to be discovered.